Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America. You'll find us online at thisweekinamerica.us. Have you ever wondered why two diametrically opposite explanations of ourselves, religion and science, coexist? The book The Transition, initiated by Copernicus and Galileo from religion to science, the beckoning bridge many find difficult or impossible to cross, explains the reason. One explanation began before the other. One explanation's development began thousands of years ago, the other about 500 years ago. Author Lawrence Wood explores from religion to science, helping us to cross that bridge, the gulf between your religious beliefs, which have become increasingly difficult to accept, and the strange new world of science. Lawrence Wood holds a doctorate in physics. He spent more than 50 years in scientific product development, devoting his retirement to researching the emergence of the two mutually exclusive explanations for the universe's conception, religion and science, developed after years of independent study. His book, The Transition, initiated by Copernicus and Galileo from religion to science, the beckoning bridge many find difficult or impossible to cross, author Lawrence Wood, our guest on This Week in America. Lawrence, welcome to the program. I've been looking forward to this. Great to have you with us on the show today.
Well, thank you very much, Rick. It's a pleasure to be here. Always a pleasure to talk about this book and its subject. It's got to be one of the more interesting ones that anybody could get involved with.
Well, it really is, and we're going to touch on the surface and remind people you can buy the book From Religion to Science. We'll give you the information. It's available at LarryWoodBooks.com, and we'll have that up on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. I want to start by talking about the concept you mentioned in the title, The Beckoning Bridge. Talk about that, why that was chosen, because that really seems to be applicable to what we're talking about here.
Well, Rick, I stole that from my wife.
Sometimes the best ideas come from the women in the house. Yes.
Well, the cover is a painting that my wife made a few years ago. It comes from Monet's farm in France, and that bridge is found in Monet's place. And I thought it was just ideal, because if you imagine a religious person standing on the left side and science on the right-hand side, it's a bridge that's beckoning you to change from one to the other, but many, for a variety of reasons, find it impossible or very difficult to cross. And that's where that metaphor came from.
And I love the color of the book. Your wife did a very nice job with that. The book is From Religion to Science, and we'll give you the full information during the course of the program. You answer two questions by explaining how things came to be, and I make that sound very simple. This was years of research on your part. Explain, because that really sort of sets the argument up on either side so we can fully understand what's happening here.
Well, a fundamental interest that I had was the transition.
Yes.
Now, the transition has got to be, in my humble opinion, one of the most major series of events that occurred in human history. And what I was interested in doing, besides answering the question, why do we have two science and religion coexisting, what led to Copernicus writing the book he did and the transition that ensued. And you have to go back to some of the earlier things. In fact, you really have to go right back to the beginning, because there are a couple of things that happened in the beginning that set the stage for everything else that follows. For example, life started 4 billion years ago, and with a single cell, just a simple bacteria. Now, a bacteria has a finite life, but fortunately, it's a single cell, and therefore, it can divide and reproduce itself. And it turns out that the single cell is the only living entity that can actually reproduce itself. Now, when multicelled animals came along 3 billion years later, It took 3 billion years to go from single cell to multi-cell. Of course, a lot of things happened. But one of the things that was important is that each multi-cell animal has to be able to create a single cell to carry on its progeny, to reproduce itself.
Right.
And this thing is called a zygote. Now, what makes some of this difficult for some people is to try to understand some of the details in Hawaii and so forth. But the fact of the matter is our life is finite. We have to reproduce ourselves. And that leads me into one of my most recent discoveries, I suspect, and that is the fact that evolution is true, because evolution is the external manifestation of the reproductive process. If we're going to make new animals, new life, it has to be done in a place where reproduction occurs, and it only occurs in one spot. It occurs in the body of a woman, and the problem that occurs, well, consider what happened when the first multi-celled animal appeared about 1 billion years ago. It was an algae, about as simple as it could possibly be, but it reproduced sexually. And the algae had a egg, a female egg, and a male sperm. Now, multi-celled animals have two sets of chromosomes. It's called diploidy. And if I take a egg with two sets of chromosomes and a sperm with two sets of chromosomes, I put them together and I have four sets of chromosomes. Well, that kind of an entity cannot live. So something has to be done, and it's done in a process called meiosis, in which both the sperm and the egg are processed in a manner that one of the chromosomes are removed from each of the cells. So what you end up with is something called a haploid cell, and the haploid cell only has one set of chromosomes. So a haploid male and a haploid female can now join and form a diploid, and this joining creates something called a zygote. The zygote begins to divide, and off we go. And that's the whole secret. Now, the output of the reproductive process, there's a lot of variability. I got the basic idea of this from talking to a friend who has 8 siblings, and she wondered, why are they all different? We come from the same parents, but they're all different.
Good question.
And
yes.
The answer is, and she said, well, don't they have the same genes? And the answer is they don't. Because the genes are mixed up in this process called meiosis. And it's just about that simple. You just take the multiple iterations, the gestations that go on. There were 100 million years between fish and amphibians. That's room for a lot of changes and modifications, and that's how it happens. So that's the sum and substance of it. It's just as simple as that.
Yeah, you have so much.
Point where, anyway, that now, as far as all things that happened up to the transition, there were a couple of very important multi-celled animals. The multi-celled reproduction is a totally random process. There's a lot of selections go on, totally random. in any random process, the output fits a bell curve, which is why all humans have the bell curve type characteristics. So therefore, there's considerable variability among humans, or any animal for that matter. If you go to a ball game and there's 50,000 people sitting in the stands, and nine guys down on the field playing baseball, and there's a reason for that. The output of the multi-cell reproduction system produces a bell curve. And that way out of the right hand end of that bell curve is the outstanding athletes or musicians or you name it. And that's why we have the diversity we do have. We don't like it. We can't seem to fight against it, but that's built into the system.
The book we're talking about in the program today, a fascinating read by our guest Lawrence Wood. It's called From Religion to Science, The Transition Initiated by Copernicus and Galileo from Religion to Science, The Beckoning Bridge Many Find Difficult or Impossible to Cross. So much to talk about. The time will go by and has so far quickly on the program. Information at the website LarryWoodBooks.com. Book, of course, is available at Amazon. You'll find it at the usual places. If you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, you'll be able to link on directly to the link, get information on the book, and be able to order it as well. It's a fascinating read. How many years, I mentioned years of independent study, how many years, and it sounds like that study, that research is continuing to this day. How long have you been working on this project? That pretty well answers it, yes.
Well, it's an interesting question, and I guess I first got started on this probably in college. I had some thoughts about it prior to that, but see, I really went through the transition myself. I was a fairly religious person when I was young. I went to Sunday school, church, and there was active in the church and all this sort of thing. And I guess I must have believed in God. But then I got to graduate school, and I started learning things about the world that I didn't know. And all of a sudden, for me anyway, I don't want to proselytize, but for me, religion became impossible. And then I started looking into, well, what? How do we get to where we are? And a fundamental reason is our eyes and ears and all that are not very good at observing. So cognition appears in the archaeological record about 70,000 years ago. And as soon as, you know, cognition means you can look at something and explain it. And when humans developed cognition, they found themselves in this place and they finally, what is this all about? You know, what's that big orange thing going across the sky? And how come it gets dark and light and dark? And all the things that happen, it happened to them for the first time. And you can imagine the fear that must have gone through and the crying need for an explanation. So the obvious explanation was, first of all, we're at the center. The Earth was at the center. Everything appeared, everything went around, so we're in the center. The second thing is, your eyes aren't very good at seeing the distance. Next time you see the moon, see if you can convince it it's 260,000 miles away. Then try the sun at 90 million miles. So we live in a small universe. Circles around us. This is all cast in concrete by a Greek astronomer. Name escapes me. Anyway,
go ahead, please.
You have these mental blocks, especially when you're 83 years old. the astronomer cast this thing into concrete. And what Copernicus was guide me against was this incorrect description of the universe. He said, no, the Earth is not at the center, it goes around the sun. So he came along and he changed that. And he didn't publish until he was on his deathbed, because he knew what was going to happen. And it did happen to those who survived it.
Yes.
Then a few years later, in early 1600s, the lens makers made microscopes and telescopes. And that was a game changer. That's when science really began, because now people could look at things that they couldn't look without. For example, there was a fabric maker that wanted to examine his fabrics in great detail. And he got himself a microscope. Oh, that's not very good. So he worked on it and made a better one. And he was able to examine the fibers. And on a whim, I'm sure, he took a pan of pond water and stuck it under the microscope. And I can just imagine when he looked in and saw all these things swimming around. Then he looked out the way. He couldn't see him with his naked eye. And then you have the moons of Jupiter. Now, Galileo got in trouble because he claimed that there were three moons going around Jupiter, but there's no moons mentioned in the Bible. So he was brought before the high priest and made to recant. And no, there aren't any moons. So that kind of thing was really difficult for the church and many people. But the cat was out of the bag, so to speak.
Yeah, and the evidence was there. Then obviously, you make the case that it was there. I've got a couple minutes left in the program. I encourage you to read the book From Religion to Science: The Transition Initiated by Copernicus and Galileo from Religion to Science, The Beckoning Bridge Many Find Difficult or Impossible to Cross. Why are some people unwilling or unable to accept these new scientific understandings? I mean, you lay out perfectly the case. You build this whole evolution transition that we've gone through, yet some people are unable or unwilling to understand. Why is that, do you think? Just the firmness in their religious beliefs?
Oh, yeah. I think it's the firmness. It's the fear of the unknown. The idea of an omnipotent supreme being having charge of everything, having created the individual, the universe, and then there's the issue of the afterlife. A fellow wrote a book called The Proof of Heaven. He's a neurophysiologist, and he had an out-of-body experience. And he's convinced there is heaven. I have a couple of friends that had out-of-body experiences, and they're convinced that heaven exists. They're convinced they're going to go visit their friends and all that. That kind of a belief is very, very difficult for many to abandon. And if you abandon part of it, you have to abandon all of it, or you have to accept all of it.
Yes.
And that, I believe, the fundamental reason. First of all, it's difficult to change. And second of all, they don't want to give up the afterlife. And that's a very powerful loop.
You've got people.
I would like to see my parents and friends and all, but I'm afraid the laws of physics don't let me do that. They're very simple. How many people do you think are in heaven? If all the people are in heaven. It's got to be in the trillions. And the numbers
yes.
Mind-boggling. And how do you find people, and where are they?
It's a fascinating book, and you have people thinking and talking, and that is always a good thing. About a minute left in the program. What reaction are you getting? Because you are continuing this debate, and you're offering up a great deal of scientific information.
Let me tell you, Rick, the reaction I'm getting in general is pretty positive. I've got a bunch of books here, and anytime I have an opportunity, I will accost somebody and say, the conversation starts out, do you do? Well, I'm retired. So what do you do as a I'm a writer. What do you write? I write books. What book? And so I guess, well, you drag them down the road till you get to the book, and then you start talking about it. And then you watch their face, and it lights up quite often. And you say, well, I just happen to have a book, and it's only $15. I'm giving away. It's $15.99 on Amazon. I'm giving him a deal because there's no hand carry. And so that's the kind of thing I've been getting. Now, not everybody. And you wouldn't expect everybody. I'm expecting maybe 10 or 15, past 20%, but I don't know. But many people, I get comments like, I couldn't put it down. You've written this wonderful book that answers questions that I've never had answered before. For me, it's been very fulfilling.
Well, and it is a book that you can't put down. Once you start reading it, one step leads to the other, and you build out such a case. And it's like, I don't want to wait till tomorrow to find out where we came from. I would really like to continue reading tonight. Time has gone by way too quickly. It's a fascinating book, From Religion to Science, The Transition Initiated by Copernicus and Galileo, From Religion to Science, The Beckoning Bridge Many Find Difficult or Impossible to Cross. Our guest has been Larry Wood. Lawrence Wood on the book cover, if you're Googling that. His website is LarryWoodBooks.com. Book, of course, at Amazon, as he mentioned. If you don't remember all of that, you can go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and link on directly to Larry's website, get information, and be able to order the book. Larry, it's been a fascinating conversation. I've been looking forward to this. Did not disappoint. Thank you so much for giving just the tip of the iceberg of all of your years of research. Thank you for sharing that on the program today.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. And one last comment. My book is broken in two parts. The first part takes you up to the transition, and the second part explains all the illusions that you bought. Why does the sun go around? All that kind of stuff. So there's a whole science course in that book, too.
Well, it is. That's the nice thing. It's not some guy's theory. It is all what he's saying backed by science, backed by years of research. That's what gives the book so much credibility. Again, From Religion to Science, The Transition Initiated by Copernicus and Galileo, From Religion to Science, The Beckoning Bridge Many Find Difficult or Impossible to Cross. Information at LarryWoodBooks.com. Larry, again, thank you for joining us on the program.
Been a pleasure, Rick. Been a pleasure.
You're listening to This Week in America. You'll find us online, thisweekinamerica.us.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.